That's that music I was waiting for. Our regular producer, Dave Miranda, is out today. Jessica's filling in. She's learning her DJ skills as we go here. Special shout out to Eli, who's interning, who's been thrown in the fire here. Way to learn on the fly, Eli. You know, it's always good to come in a day when you have a fill-in producer, right? Never worked with before, but you know, it's a team effort here. We got our engineer down here. It was fun. It was good times. All right, so we are now shifting our focus to the beautiful city of Chicago and its architecture. And the architecture biennial that happens, and we have the executive directors, artistic director Sharon Johnson and Mark Lee on the line. Sharon and Mark, how are you?
Hi, Frank. How are you?
We're doing excellent. Thanks for joining the show. Let's talk about it. The Chicago Architecture Biennial. For those who don't know what it is, let's have one of you explain exactly what it is.
Well, the Chicago Architecture Biennial is a showcase of the newest and the most innovative architecture from all around the world. We see it as a platform that creates a dialogue between the global architecture community and the Chicago architecture community. It is an exhibition that runs from September 16th of this year, 3 months long, until January 7th of 2018. I think in the show you see like new ways of thinking about architecture, new ways of making architecture. You'll see the latest building types, ways of thinking about sustainability in buildings, newest materials and such.
So architects from all over the globe come here just for this event, correct?
Indeed.
That's right. Yeah.
And so, you know, as the layperson or the fan, the kind of like sideline fan of Chicago architecture, could they participate? Can the folks listening participate?
Oh, sure. The program, the kind of hub of the biennial, will take place at the Chicago Cultural Center, which is right at between Randolph and Washington on Michigan Avenue, and it's really designed as a very participatory program. So there'll be all kinds of not only types of work to see, different mediums, but also conversations, performances throughout not only the opening weekend, but throughout the run of the show.
And the opening weekend is going to align with the 6th Annual Expo Chicago, the International Exposition of Contemporary Modern Art, which runs September 13th through the 17th, correct, at Navy Pier?
Right, yes. So there are a lot of people in the art world that will be here, as well as architecture aficionados.
Yeah, I mean, what an exciting, you know, time to live in Chicago with events like this and so much art and culture here in the Midwest. You know, for those on the coast who think they're better than us, I poo-poo on you today.
Yeah, we're really excited to have, you know, the first biennial of architecture in North America happen in the middle of the country. I think it's a really exciting moment to bring many voices together, not at one of the edges, but right in the center of the United States.
And who founded this? Like, whose genius idea was this?
Well, I think it really built on the sort of great legacy of architecture in the city of Chicago. I know that the mayor was very excited about the potential of the interest in architecture to sort of expand the audiences who can really come to know the city through its architecture. And then, of course, all the great leaders of the cultural and art and architecture institutions throughout the city, you know, really spearheaded it and made it happen.
Yeah, and I would add, you know, I think for us, you know, having it in Chicago is really important for this first biennial in North America. Stanley Tigerman, you know, a renowned architect here, once said that being an architect in Chicago is like being born rich. And I think the first biennial, we met a lot of architects from all around the world, and they testified to how important it is not only to see the biennial and see the latest work, but also you walk out of this cultural center and you're confronted with one of the best works from the 19th century to mid-century to what's happening today. You know, it becomes a palimpsest of the great work of the last 150 years. So
it's amazing.
I think it's very natural to have it here.
Well, and you know, so many people drive up and down the boulevards and the main strips here in downtown Chicago, and you know, you just kind of blindly go through life. And until that one day where you just look up at a building, like right now I'm looking across our studio out of our window at the Wrigley Building.
Yeah.
I mean, it's fascinating, truly fascinating, yeah, at the every detail of every level, of every stone put into it. You know, walk us through a process for a massive building like that in Chicago, because a lot can't fathom how do you even begin the creative process to start the architectural planning for, you know, something that scale.
Mm-hmm. Well, of course, you know, especially building in a city like Chicago, there's many, a kind of myriad of planning and zoning challenges just to get the right to build your building as planned. And then there's, you know, this very sort of creative process where you're looking at materials, you're working with craftsmen. I think one of the things that really stands out of the kind of great buildings, let's say, of the 19th century in Chicago is the incredible craftsmanship that, you know, has made these buildings be sort of timeless markers in the city and relevant for young architects around the world today. And I think it's that that's something that's really fascinating to us, that they're both, many of these buildings exemplify the latest technology of their area, of their era, but they also show, demonstrate a kind of craftsmanship that really, you know, maintains their interest and their relevance today.
And I think case in point is the Chicago Cultural Center, where we're having the biennial. It has the world's largest Tiffany dome. You know, it has another great art glass dome. And it played many roles besides playing the role of a cultural center and former library. Some of you might remember the movie Untouchables from 30 years ago.
Oh, yes.
Where the cultural center played the role as, I think, a foyer of an opera house. It played a courthouse. There was a famous chase scene with Kevin Costner at the end on the roof. You know, I think it's really a...
Yeah, and
know,
is it also the...
Many lives and stories to tell.
Is it also the scene where Robert De Niro is coming down the stairs? Robert De Niro plays Al Pacino. Plays Al Capone. And he's confronted by Kevin Costner at gunpoint coming. Is that the same building we're talking about?
Same building, yes.
Wow.
It also played the courthouse where the trial of Al Capone happened. So
that's great. Yeah, Chicago have become such a great backdrop for many of Hollywood cinema, and it's only getting greater and greater. On the phone, we're talking to Sharon and Mark from the Chicago Architecture Biennial, and we're talking more with them. We're going to take a quick break, grab some news after that, and then continue our conversation. And I really want to get into the evolution of, you know, technology, as you mentioned before, Sharon, as these buildings stay with their authentic history, the insides, the guts of these buildings often, you know, change because of the technology and because of the buildings and because of the offices and the companies that occupy them. So I want to talk about how we balance, you know, the future and the past in those. So just noodle on that for a second as we take a break.
The show that puts the improv in home improvement. It's Frank Fontana on 720 WGN.
Oh, welcome back to the Frank Fontana Show. We're here till 3 o'clock. The guys from The Beat are coming up after that. Mark, Jared, and I don't know, Hoag is here sometimes. Those guys always mix it up. Talking about all sorts of fun sports stuff. We're talking about architecture here in Chicago. There's nothing else like it in the country. You know, you got your New Yorks, you got your Miamis, you got your LAs, but sweet old Chicago, baby. There is just something about it. Frank Lloyd Wright all the way on up to some of the top architects of our time. We are talking to Sharon and Mark from the Chicago Architecture Biennial. I left this question, which we'll continue to leave. The evolution of technology on the inside versus the historic buildings on the outside. How do they come together? We're going to learn all about that as soon as we get our news update from Bob Kessler.
He's a dad. He's a designer. He's the guy who can make your house a home. And maybe make your husband a little handier.
No, you're not.
This is the Frank Fontana Show.
Because I'm going to make this place your home.
On Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Welcome back to the show, folks. I'm Frank Fontana. We're talking about one of my favorite subjects, which is this beautiful city of ours, Chicago, and all the amazing architecture that exists in the city. If you haven't seen it, just look up. Yeah, you two out there in the window. Go outside. Turn around and look at that Wrigley building right now. Look how beautiful that building is, huh? Yeah, I got some thumbs up out there. It's all around us, folks. These amazing artists who create beautiful things, especially in our city. We're on the phone talking to Sharon and Mark, who are the artistic directors for the our Chicago Architecture Biennial. And I was just joined in studio. I was surprised. I was actually going out to use the restroom. And boom, there was Todd Palmer, who's the executive director, and Anya Jaworska. Did I say that correct?
Yep, correct.
Wow, that's good. No tequila today. I usually have a drinking game, so I don't get your name right. I drank a lot last night. It was rough. I can't even think about tequila. Anyways, you're a Chicago-based architect as well. Anya, thank you guys for joining us.
Absolutely. Thanks for having us.
How was the hallway out there? Did you guys appreciate the blues and the tight corridor that you're standing in for about 10 minutes? Well, welcome to the show. We do have your co-parts on the line. Sharon and Mark, say hi.
Hello.
Hi.
So great time to join the conversation, guys. All right. Todd, we learned all about this year's biennial. Great stuff. We're so excited. The mayor's on board. The entire city loves this. And I left with a question to Sharon and Mark. You guys feel free to chime in, Anya, as an architect yourself. The evolution of these buildings, you have the history on the outside. Like, you know, I'm just, again, using the reference of the Wrigley building across the street. It's gorgeous. It's old. It's vintage in style. You can look at all the handcrafted detail in that. But as time evolves and businesses evolve and corporations come into these buildings, the need to upgrade the interiors is there. You know, you got monster companies like Google, these high-tech companies coming into Tesla. They're all coming here. How do you maintain the beauty of what Chicago was built on while this boom happens? You know, because you're going to get people who are going to hate the change, you know, but it's happening. We can't deny it. How do we maintain our roots here in Chicago in terms of architecture? Mm-hmm.
Well, I think it's really a great question, and it gets at the heart of the theme for this year's biennial, which is called Make New History. And that we came to that title through looking at both a number of the participants that were part of the program in 2015 and a number of architects around the world that we recognized where history was becoming a newly relevant kind of area of interest and research in their work. And the idea, not that history is something that shackles you or creates a kind of divide between the past and the future, but something that a medium in which can inspire a kind of sense of the development of architecture as part of a continuum, a set of questions that continue to evolve but maintain a relevancy. And for example, one very kind of tangible kind of realm of practice that we see a lot is the practice of kind of adaptive reuse, where architects are taking on old structures and adapting them for new uses.
Yeah, and I'd say that it not only pertains to older buildings, which conservation is important, but also I think this issue of change of use also pertains to newer buildings. So, for instance, there are a few participants who in our biennial who are doing new buildings. Some of them are doing new parking lots. But at the same time, they're also anticipating that it may be in 20 years that with driverless cars or rideshare programs, parking lots would be not obsolete, but you don't need that many parking spaces. So they're already thinking about how to adapt them into office spaces or living spaces in the future.
Well,
so I think this history of change of use is oftentimes preemptively think about in a lot of participants' work.
I think you just made a lot of people excited by the idea of less parking spots, which means less money spent on parking. That's a good thing. So are we going to see buildings with giant like passway holes through them so you could fly your flying car through the building? That would be kind of cool. See, I'm thinking, I got my design hat on. If we had just glass windows and you had a pass through, but then you got the safety issue. What if those cars veer off into somebody's office? That could be a bad situation. So go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, yeah, I was just going to say we can have a workshop on the future of the car in the city of Chicago, and you can host that.
I'd love to do that. That would be we make a lot of people happy if we can cut down this whole parking situation over here. So, Todd, tell me about your role in all this.
Sure. Well, as executive director, I'm thinking a lot about how the biennial that Sharon and Mark are curating, they're bringing the participants, 141 architects and artists who are practicing all over the world? And how does that really, how does the city connect to it? How do tourists connect to it? How do young people connect to it? So we have an education program that'll reach 15,000 young people.
Wow.
That we're working on with the Chicago Architecture Foundation, which does great work in that field. We have 6 anchor sites across the city that the Community Trust is helping us with. Institutions like the DuSable and the Mexican Museum of Art and the Paducah Museum out in Humboldt Park and others who've been doing great artistic and cultural work in their neighborhoods for a long time. And this is an opportunity for them to share with the world that we're bringing to Chicago the kind of architecture narratives that are happening in those neighborhoods. So it's, a lot of it is you know, your listeners, you know, we want everyone to feel that they're welcomed in the cultural center, they're welcomed in the city to connect to these kind of great ideas that Sharon and Mark have been talking about.
It's brilliant. And Anya, you are you're here, right, as kind of a guest teacher, is that correct? Or explain to me your role in this.
So I am a clinical assistant professor at the University of Illinois at Chicago. I teach architecture at School of Architecture. And I also have my own practice under my name, Anya Jaworska. And I was selected as one of the participants for the biennial. And I'm producing a project for the Randolph Entrance Lobby in the Cultural Center, which is, will be this kind of entrance installation, which will be the first thing you will see when you enter the exhibition.
Awesome. So you're in touch with the students a lot.
Yes.
How excited are these young people, you know, soon to be architects? Is there a buzz? Is there still an excitement about the industry itself? You know, one would see from the outside, like, oh, there's so many buildings. There's probably so many architects. Is there an oversaturation? Is that true? Or are you seeing still this kind of like, I'm excited? Like, I remember as a kid, I was excited about design. I was excited about, you know, changing and creating things, you know, and that kind of obviously brought me into my career today. But like on the school level, what is the buzz?
Yeah, absolutely. I think everyone's exciting. The students are super excited about the biennial, to be exposed to the exhibition, which brings a lot of architects from around the world. And a lot of students are participating in some way. There are a lot of faculty members from University of Illinois at Chicago participating.
How big is the program at the school? Like, what's your enrollment? It is a lot of kids.
Well, I think it's a, depending in undergrad or grad departments, but usually the incoming class, first year studio will have around 100 students, more or less. And then I think approximately would be 60 students per year.
How has technology changed the way these new architects are learning?
We definitely exposed, you know, young students off the get-go to a lot of programs like Rhino, CAD, Illustrator, Photoshop, a lot of hands-on work in the wood shop. So definitely they do get a lot of exposure into new technologies.
That's great. And I know, you know, I work with a lot of architects all the time, and some of them tell me like their dads, you know, generations of architects are still doing the layered blueprints of, you know, like the old school hand sketching. Is there something to that? I mean, Mark and Sharon, do you guys experience similar? I mean, do you have a preference? Do you like today's way of drawing, or do you like it go old school?
You know, we really like a little bit of everything. I mean, we still build a lot of models in our studio. We do drawings by hand. We use Rhino, all the software that Anya mentioned. For us, we really think it's kind of using whatever tools are most relevant for the question that we're looking at is the kind of best approach to production.
Do you feel it's important that the kids start with a pencil and paper versus just going straight digital?
We're not sort of that religious about that. We just feel that craft is important, whether you're crafting a drawing, you know, in AutoCAD or some other digital software, or you're making a model. The sort of precision of making is precision of thinking.
But we feel students should be exposed to drawing with a pencil. Mm-hmm. You know, one doesn't have to be dogmatic about it. But I feel there's something that is about drawing a wall that connects one line to the other line, the time mm-hmm. that needs to draw from one point to the other. It's a very different experience from clicking on 2 points with your mouse.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
You know, there's a certain thing that is, one is very conscious about, you're drawing a wall, you're drawing a division, you know. And I think
there's
value in both of them.
I do the same, yeah. You know, as an interior designer, I work with tons of architects, but I'm always, my first thing is a pad and a paper and a pencil, and I like to just get my idea out. Then I'll quickly go to the computer and, you know, drop it into CAD and all that kind of stuff. And I work with some really brilliant, you know, folks who know 3D rendering and the type of stuff you can output today. And speaking of 3D, how much of 3D printers is making its way into the world of architecture? Can anybody elaborate? I think we might have lost Sharon or Mark. You guys there?
I think for sure it's a really efficient mode of producing models quickly. I think I'm sure for Anya and her students, they're very prevalent in schools. I think, I think they're a great tool.
I think there's also a limitation with size, you know. So oftentimes we find it's more productive for industrial designers that are designing objects, and perhaps for architects, it's useful for the initial massing phase. But I think something about architecture is that it's not something that could be just comprehended over the screen or through an image. It has to be experienced. And I think one thing we're trying to do for the biennial is that not only create representations of architecture, but also build certain things that are one-to-one life scale. So to visit it is very different from seeing it on screen or looking at a picture of it, but to feel what architecture can do that is ineffable, that touches you in a very physical way.
Right. So, for example, Anya's installation, which will be the sort of first room you enter off of Randolph, she's really precisely engaging some of the historic layers and details of that room and folding that into her environment, which is, you know, at the scale of architecture and furniture. And I think that is a way for us to engage a wider audience in how architecture shapes our cities and shapes the environments that we live in every day. And we really, really look forward to that kind of conversation.
Well, I want to hear more about your installation, Anya, in a second. We're going to take a quick commercial break. When we do, we'll finish our conversation with the folks from the Chicago Architecture Biennial, and we'll give you information on how you could participate and be a part of all this as soon as we come back.
He's a dad. He's a designer. He's the guy who can make your house a home. And maybe make your husband a little handier.
No, you're not.
This is the Frank Fontana Show.
Because I'm going to make this place your home.
On Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Welcome back to the show, folks. We are rounding the corner here till 3 o'clock. Coming up after this show, The Beat will be here. The guys from The Beat talking all sorts of fun sports facts. You can find out more information about what we do here by going to the website frankfontana.net. Follow me on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter. You can see this. If you go to Facebook right now, I took the weekend. For those of you who don't know, my wife just beat cancer. Literally just came out of the hospital from radiation, found out we are 100% at this moment cancer-free. Still have a little bit of a ways to get her back to full health, but things are fantastic right now. And I secretly videotaped her coming home and my kids seeing her after being gone for a week. It's really emotional. I warn you to bring some tissues because it's such a sweet, sweet moment. And I put it together. I did some little edits and cuts and stuff like that. So it's fun. Go to my Facebook page to see that right now. Put a little like or comment. She'd love to see it. Right now, we're finishing our conversation with the folks from the Chicago Architecture Biennial. Joining me in studio are two of the executive director, Todd Palmer, and you're the visiting assistant professor at University of Illinois, Anya Jaworska. She's here, and she did an installation in the entrance, right, Todd? Walk us through what exactly, Anya, and then Anya, I'd love for you to creatively chime in here with what it is we're looking at as we walk through here.
Sure. So the biennial is really, we've invited these 141 architects to create full-scale models, installations that you can touch, walk through, peer into. I'll get to Anya's maybe at the end, because then she can pick it up. But one of the amazing things that you'll see that gets at this theme of make new history, the skyscraper has influenced architects around the world, and architects in Chicago continue to produce skyscrapers. Actually, the building we're in, the Tribune Tower, was the result of a competition in 1922.
Really?
That 100-plus architects from around the world responded to. So it's been reimagined in the 80s, and Sharon and Mark have invited 16 architects to consider this tower once again. So you'll see architects that are in Berlin, in Spain, in London, and other places that are also experiencing skyscraper booms, reimagining the Tribune Tower with the same kind of programmatic conditions.
But I mean, this is a fascinating building.
Fascinating building. In the exhibit, they will be 16-foot models of these towers. So you can imagine, like, you know, many times taller than the tallest person, creating a kind of cityscape in the room. But we'll also...
So you'd be like a... You feel like a giant in this space.
You'll feel like a giant or I don't know. It'll be definitely
or
an
small,
Instagram
right?
moment, right?
Yeah.
It'll be larger than life.
Which you're encouraging lots of photos, right?
To get it and to get excited about imagining architecture. So the spirit of it, there's another room that's basically like a world tour of architecture in miniature. So if you've ever been to the Art Institute and seen the Thorn Rooms, all of those are kind of these old interiors. So we're going to have the Karnak Temple, the Pantheon, influential spaces like at the, you know, an apartment in the Hancock Tower, Yves Saint Laurent's apartment, etc. And that will be, we think, a really fun exhibit
to
peer in. I don't know. Come and see.
Oh, I like it. He's good.
So
good.
Anya will be in the lobby, and so maybe I'll let her describe how her exhibit.
Yeah, walk me
you.
Through it, Anya. The first thing people will see is your exhibit, correct, as they walk in?
Yeah, so it will be an entrance installation. So it will serve as a kind of reception desk, a kind of point of entry and kind of getting an information about Biennial. But also it will be an installation that it's kind of something between a sculpture and pavilion, architectural pavilion. So the scale is also kind of about 10, 12 feet tall, large kind of objects within the space.
Made with what?
Mostly it will be metal, steel. The color will be very unarchitectural, I would say, neon yellow.
Wow.
So it will be very intense color. And really function as a kind of opposition or kind of in contrast to the room. The room, the Randolph entrance is very beautiful, ornamental. And I think this is really just kind of rethinking how the entrance
flip
can
the script
work.
A little bit.
Yeah.
Why that way? Why would you not go with what exists?
I think in general, it's also kind of responding to the theme of the biennial, Make New History. So the installation will incorporate some elements that we are very familiar with, architectural elements like a column or an arch, which are very present within the, you know, our collective space, environment,
yes.
urban environment,
sure.
especially in Chicago. You can probably think about, you know, buildings incorporating columns as a kind of decorative element, not only structural element. So I'm really repurposing some of those elements in order to tie into this history, but also propose a kind of new reading of it.
Interesting. Now, I had a guest on earlier who was an artist. He does wall finishes and also trompe-l'oeil and all that. And he mentioned the Art Deco influence in our city here in Chicago. Do you agree with that statement? Do you see that our city is really based in Art Deco? In terms of its architecture?
I mean, there's so many influences in Chicago. We're looking out the window. We're in kind of a, you know, neo-Gothic building. We can see a neo-Art Deco building over in
BC. More neo-Gothic.
We can see the Apple modern, you know, building. So I think what the show is trying to do is actually these conversations that architects have about styles and periods to really open that up to the public and think about how does new architecture best replicate or resemble the past, or does it, you know, like Anya's piece, kind of somewhat evoke it, but then give something bright and colorful and totally different? And I think the jury's still out on what's Chicago ultimately, but we want to invite a lot more people into that conversation.
Well, it's so funny. One of my first articles, I write columns, and I wrote for the Chicago Sun-Times for a long time, and one of my first articles, the lead title was, What is Chicago Style? And it got such feedback where people could not, like, you know, there's the Midwest sensibility element to it. Like, oh, we're in Midwest, you know, everything should be sensible, functional. And then you had flip side. No, we're totally hip, cool, modern for Midwest. And I still haven't pinpointed, other than it's grounded in hard work, you know, blue collar, industrial vibe, you know. But to me, you know, like, I feel like when you mentioned, you know, the... like a city like Tokyo with its modern, you know, skyscrapers, and then you got New York that's got a mix of both. I personally, when I come to a city, want to feel the neo-Gothic vibe. Like, to me, this downtown corridor of the Magnificent Mile that we are sitting on right now is the city to me. Like, these buildings feel like that to me. I don't know about you guys.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm sure as architects, you know, we're all in the same world in design. You have an opinion, correct? What's your opinion? What cities do you like the most?
I'm going to answer a different way to say that, because I'm not going to talk about the Banyo, that one of the surprising things about, I think, Chicago is how much it's influenced these other cities.
Yes.
And so, you know, there's, you know, through Frank Lloyd Wright, you know, Tokyo is getting brought into the mix. Through Adolf Loos from Vienna, he visits Chicago and you know, designs an American bar. So what we hope people find is how Chicago has what does that style mean when
yeah.
it's played out in another city, and bringing that actually to Chicago to see.
And you can find it all here at the Chicago Architecture Biennial. Happening when and where can people get tickets and information?
Absolutely. So it opens September 16th. It closes January 7th. You can check out our website. You have to be very good at spelling, chicagoarchitecturebiennial.org. And there's all kind of information about planning your visit there.
And just in case, B-I-E-N-N-I-A-L.
Yeah.
Is biennial.
I didn't want to misspell it.
Todd and Anya, thank you so much for coming in studio. We really appreciate it. We're running out of time. We're going to take
you.
A quick break, and coming up after the news is The Beat. We'll be right back. And that does it for us here at the Frank Fontana Show. You can catch us every Sunday right here on WGN Radio 720 from 1 to 3 o'clock. We'll have fun topics like this. We'll talk about design and everything else in between. And visit my website, frankfontana.net. Follow us on Instagram. We'll have all the fun stuff. Again, thank you guys so much. I can't thank you all enough for your outpouring of support for my wife and my family. We appreciate it going through this tough time. It means the world to us. This is Chicago's very own 720 WGN Chicago and WGNRadio.com. And if you're an Amazon Echo user, just say play WGN Radio and watch what will happen. Can you guess? That's right. You'll hear the show. And every other show on WGN.